I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older, then we wouldn't have to wait so long, and wouldn't it be nice to live together?
Why the Beach Boys at this point? How did that break out? Dom Giordano program. Well, it just dropped that Brian Wilson, co-founder of the Beach Boys, is urging his fans to boycott an upcoming appearance by the group.
No!
Yeah, by his own group. Listen to this maniac, right? Because he doesn't tour with them frequently. At an event sponsored by a hunting group where Don Trump Jr. also will be speaking. So he apparently objects to both Don Trump Jr. and the hunting aspect of Don Trump Jr. This guy is not just saying he won't be there because he won't. He's calling upon him to boycott the very group that he helped to found.
Can I make a radical statement here?
Yes.
Give it up, Brian. Just give it up. I went to go see him 2 years ago, Don.
Right.
The most disappointing concert I've ever been to in my life.
What does he do now? Is he with the Beach Boys?
There was three times during the show. He does a solo act. He goes to casinos and all and does a solo act and does all his hits. But three times, mid through a song, he would leave the stage to go cough up a lung.
Oh, my God.
And pick up right where he left off. And his voice is just terrible. And it's horrible because Brian Wilson, we've had the discussion on air before that. I think he's one of the most revolutionary people of all time in music.
I know. I'm a big fan of the Beach Boys. But imagine going after the remnants of your own group, telling people to boycott them being there.
It's crazy.
To get at a form of hunting, and Don Trump Jr., Eric Trump, too, he cites in this. Wow. I mean, this is pretty incredible stuff. But, hey, it's Trump dementia.
Is John Stamos still touring with the Beach Boys?
John Stamos did that?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, he was playing, he was touring around as one of the band members of the Beach Boys.
Oh, man. I think John Stamos is a much underrated actor. Well, no, not really. Just amazing.
He's rated pretty.
He's rated exactly.
Pretty generously as it
he's
is.
He's generously so. Where he should be. Even I can't make that. Oh, you want to call in? I'll argue. And
he's a very likable gentleman.
I can't even make
not
that
a great
argument.
Actor.
No, not a great actor. All right. 855-839-1210. Here's Adam Schiff. You know, with all this going on with Iowa, we're getting to the end today. Finally, it will be over. I don't think there's any more tomorrow because tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, they vote to acquit Trump or to remove Trump. And the betting odds are pretty high. There will be two or three Democrats that say to acquit, not for removal. But Adam Schiff, listen to this argument yesterday of the stuff Trump will do if he's not removed from office, the message he'll get. And yes, it involves Alaska and it involves the Russians.
If abuse of power is not impeachable, even though it is clear the founders considered the highest of all high crimes and misdemeanors, but if it were not impeachable, then a whole range of utterly unacceptable conduct in a president would now be beyond reach. Trump could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move to Mar-a-Lago permanently and let Jared Kushner run the country, delegating to him the decision whether to go to war. Because those things are not necessarily criminal, this argument would allow that he could not be impeached for such abuses of power. Of course, this would be absurd. More than absurd, it would be dangerous.
Wow, this guy, I wonder how long they took to write that. You notice what he did there, too. He said not only he could sell Alaska to the Russians, you know, like give it back to them or whatever, but also do it for help in the 2020 election.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Jared Kushner is running the country, even saying, let's go to war. Well, everybody knows Congress is the power, unless we've missed something. So I kind of thought, since Alaska will be back in the hands of the Russians, what state is it? Now, I think I know the number one with listeners. What state is it you would like to give over to some other country?
Come on, that's a bad question.
Why is it?
Because it's such an obvious answer.
What?
California.
Yes, California. I think it's all California, but there might be another state that people don't like. And they, you know, I would not say California. I'd say the city of Philadelphia.
When I live,
I don't know what foreign entity we'd give Philadelphia to that would take it.
When I live in New Jersey, I want Pennsylvania to go somewhere.
Right.
But when I live in Philadelphia, I want New Jersey to get out.
All right. I live in Philadelphia, and I still would like to see Philadelphia ceded to somebody else. Jim Kenney throwing back shots of vodka with a winter hat on, a Russian hat on. It would work. So this is the fertile imagination of Adam Schiff, that Trump will sell Alaska to Russia if he's not stopped tomorrow with the big vote.
He just wants to turn a Sarah Palin into a,
yeah,
you know.
And he'll do it. He'll do it also to get further help. Now, you know, there are conspiracy people out there saying that, oh, that's what's happened in Iowa. Toward what point? Are they trying to stop Bernie, the Russians? Are they trying to stop Biden? What would the Russians be doing here? Now, anything the Russians try to do in our election, you know what it's about. It's about turning people against each other. It's not support of a particular candidate or whatever. It's about chaos, and they're not good at it. And certainly in 2016, they weren't successful at doing any of this. They didn't keep Hillary out of Wisconsin. You know the old stuff that we go back to all the time on this. All right, so 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210. We played you a bit earlier, and I want to play you Elizabeth Warren's response to this. Yesterday, we played you CBS Evening Morning News, the morning show, talking about the rich and talking about pie, and convinced that if Americans could just think about this, how much pie the rich have. And yet, Michael Bloomberg gets a pass. How is it that Michael Bloomberg gets a pass that he is a billionaire we don't even know how many times over? So here's Elizabeth Warren. CBS catches up with her in Iowa, and they're asking her what, you know, about income inequality. She happened to see the pie thing that they illustrated with. What does she think about it?
As Democrats vying for the White House crisscrossed Iowa, so did we.
Women win. Let's get this done.
First stop, an overflowing rally for Senator Elizabeth Warren. We spoke with her backstage about how the economic pie is distributed.
We got some free pie here. Free pie?
An issue we covered last week with a real pie.
How many pieces of the pie would you put on the middle class?
You had it exactly right. You showed how it is that the wealthy have so much pie. When I do a wealth tax, it's not to hand out money, it's to make the investments.
How do you like your chances?
Oh, I like them.
All right, so here's the question that's begged by this all the time with these guys. Dan found yesterday this CBS anchor for the morning show is worth at least $4 million in counting. Shouldn't Elizabeth Warren, shouldn't every one of these people be asked again and again and again and again, well, why are you allowed to have the money that you have then? Why is that? They keep on trying to make people believe, and the goofy media goes along with this, that they're only going to go after some small number of people, and if we can just attack them enough. So what should we set it at? Joe will put you on instantly. If you have an over and under figure, you want to say a billion. I'd love to hear that. In other words, you can't have $1 billion. Or is it as low as 100 million? You can't have $100 million in assets. Or is it a million? Should anybody be allowed to be a millionaire? Would we be better off? That's what they seem to be saying. Here's how they get away with it. The media is complicit in this. They're not that bright. They like the pie stuff. And they never want to set a figure. What's the figure before you should be punished? And I'm talking about, it's not just about a wealth tax. Democrats are saying there's something wrong with the system. Somebody is doing something that's out of whack when somebody has $1 billion. Are they saying it when they have 100 million? Are they saying it when they have 10 million? What's the figure? And if you could say it about 10 million, can't we retort, well, wait a minute. Why does Elizabeth Warren need a net worth of 12 to 15 million bucks? Why can't she settle for a net worth of a million? She can be happy on a million. In other words, they get away with this because they come up with this fanciful stuff about just a couple hundred people or something that have too much. But if you go down that road, I know logic is their weak point. If you go down that road, doesn't the logic say you have to come back and you have to start with millionaires too? Now, Bernie drops millionaires from his stump speech. He just talks about billionaires. You know the reason why. He's a millionaire now. So 855-839-1210. What's the figure? Now, Ro was watching J-Lo's after party, Dan, last night, and she said, that's disgraceful. Look at that cake. Look at all the stuff that was going on there. Nobody needs to have that, sort of. And I interjected, well, wait a minute. How about all the people that made the cake? How about all the stuff with the party and all that? I never look at somebody and say, you know what? That's excessive. It's their money. As long as they earned it legally, who are we to say anything about it? You don't like how I spend my money and I can't spend yours? Butt out. So what's the figure before, in your mind, it becomes too much if you're of that mindset? 855-839-1210, you get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. Hey, one little update, too, so I don't forget. Tonight's the big school board meeting over in Abington. And we hope tomorrow to talk with the police chief after he talks there tonight of Abington. Great guy. And the problem they have with one school board member, at least, I think they have, there's Dan, did you see the column in the paper today from our friends at Broad and Liberty? My column appears on Thursday. I made it even stronger. You know what the problem is with this whole Abington story and this woman attacking cops in the school board meeting? She's a progressive. She thinks this way. You can't convince a person like this. What was wrong with the other Abington school board members? None of them stood up and said, how dare you? Why is that? We haven't talked about that enough. What is it? Did they think maybe she's right about the cops shooting people all over the place? Were they afraid they didn't have their facts right? Were they afraid in Abington you can't do that? Were they afraid of this woman? In other words, this progressive blowhard goes off, attacks the Abington police, and then attacks police in general when they tell her that these will be cops that will be school resource officers. Why did these other people not challenge her up and down the line? Why? Dan, do you have a theory?
I don't have a theory. I just want to bring back up, you remember Tim Locke over in Cherry Hill?
Yes.
Just the media outrage after his conservative views on gun issues?
Yes.
And just the complete lack of outrage over something like this being said on the other side just goes to exemplify right. The bias.
Oh, so you're right. The Inquirer and all, they put in this Broad and Liberty. That's a guest column. Not one pundit in town other than my column, which will appear on Thursday in the Doylestown Intelligencer and Bucks County Courier, and this show. Nobody's outraged over this. Nobody stands with the cops. No one presents facts to say this is just all wrong. Now, tonight, I think some of those facts will be presented. But the question people in Abington ought to be asking, what are these other eight people going to say tonight? Are they too going to apologize? I mean, if you're on the school board member and someone clearly is this biased, why would you not say something? Is that out of line? You don't say anything with a federal, you know, what do the kids learn by this? Seems to be a pretty obvious thing. You know, Doomberg is in town tonight. Michael Doomberg will be here. We're trying to get his source inside the Constitution Center. I've done like 10 events in the room that I think he's speaking in, Dan. And I think there is potential that you have a lift there. I don't remember ever seeing a lift. So that would mean they have to put a box there, you know, some kind of box. And you have to measure off the inches and all. What height will they have him at?
And give the lift that they deserve.
Oh, you dug that one out. But I'm looking at a story from City Journal, conservative libertarian think tank, and they're talking about Bloomberg and what he was like in light of what our future will be if this guy's anywhere near the presidency. They're talking about Great Britain, United Kingdom. Their chief medical officer in order to stop childhood obesity, says that the government should prohibit eating and drinking on urban public transport except fresh water, breastfeeding, and for medical conditions. In other words, she doesn't want to see people on a public transit or eating a snack. Sends a bad message to the kids. Think about this. The adults must not set a bad example for the kids, she says, snacking on the go. Now, you know, they have a nationwide tax on sugary soft drinks, higher taxes on milkshakes, and a ban on energy drink purchases by children. And they've set a goal for a completely smoke-free Britain by 2030. And it goes on and on and on. But I mean, can you imagine that you can't have a snack on public transportation? So what is Bloomberg done that the cheering mob at the Constitution Center tonight will be there for? This guy essentially stopped the big gulp. Remember that in New York? He is somebody who is not just on sugar, but salt and everything else. Just think about that mentality. When someone is interfering in your food, okay, that is the sign of just an authoritarian. That's exactly what this is, a sawed-off authoritarian. So 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you push pound 1210.
Hey, I actually just wrote to my friends over at the convention center and asked them to get some audio of Michael Bloomberg's
Perfect.
Podium for the night.
Perfect.
This is what it sounds like.
Oh, God, let's keep that. Let's play that forever. All right, I got to keep that going. How much will the lift be on the podium tonight? And look, the media is showing their form. They're going after Rush. And look, if they want to use this public advanced lung cancer with Rush at some point to say, aha, we told you so about cigar smoking too, and do all that stuff. Okay. Would they do that? Here's the question, though. Would they do that with other public figures? Or would they at least wait a day? When we see someone who has so much to live for, such a public statement of advanced lung cancer. I mean, I don't know that they looked at Alex Trebek and his cancer and if there's any relation to lifestyle. So you could argue, yeah. You know, smoking to me is horrible. All right. And I don't joke about that. I get that. And I feel for people who have a great deal of trouble quitting. But to take a guy in the middle of this and say that, go off, the public scolds on this with Rush. If they want to challenge him politically, but there was nothing there that analyzed and said how difficult this is to do for a public figure with that kind of audience to talk about having advanced lung cancer, to announce that to the world. No, they didn't do any of that right away. It was all out attack, tremendously all out attack. Some wishing death, some feeling sorry for cancer. You have people tweeting that. So we haven't gotten into that yet. I only have one major Rush Limbaugh experience, introducing him at the Academy of Music a number of years ago. I'd have to look up how many. The one time he came here, it was unbelievable. The stress and tension of doing that. And I wouldn't have any with any other kind of talk host. But Rush Limbaugh, I didn't hear Mark Levin yesterday. I didn't hear what he said. I heard Sean. This is the Babe Ruth of talk radio. And I'm sure this is going to be something that curtails him being on the air as much as he would like. But hopefully, particularly through this period, he's going to be there. Because his voice and what he's achieved is second to none. And that's why the media is going after this. You know, usually they give a little bit of space. You won't see this with any other public figure to say, ha, 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 they're laughing at this. They're using this immediately to savage him. That doesn't happen. That's not fair. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. I can't think of other public figures where they've used that as a launch point quite in the way they're doing with Rush Limbaugh. All right, let's go to the callers now. Mary's been waiting. Mary is in on Talk Radio 1210 with a pet peeve. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
My pet peeve is canned laughter.
Okay. You mean TV canned laughter, right?
Yeah, I can't even watch a show. Even if I want to watch it, I can't watch it with that laughter.
Yeah, the technology has not improved with canned laughter. Mm-hmm. Now,
wait, though.
In radio, though, wouldn't it be helpful to me if that we had Dan and Joe just laugh at everything I say that's remotely funny? Wouldn't that be helpful?
Oh, that would be horrible.
Why? Come on, Joe, laugh it up. Let's hear that laugh, Joe. Come on, Joe. There you go. Look, the show's better already. Come on, Mary. Give us a little laugh there.
No, I know when things are funny and some things are not funny and all that laughter, it's terrible.
All right, I'll put you down. The canned laughter. Yeah, Dan, the technology has not gotten much better with that. Yeah, there you go. Yes. That's Bloomberg tonight. That's Bloomberg coming on stage at the Constitution. Do you think Bloomberg has a entourage that goes with him and just, you know? You get him, Mike. Mike, did he scream out? What's that chant? Mike will fix it. Mike will fix it. All right. I guess that's when he mentions President Trump. All right, 855-839-1210. You'll get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. Barry, the first entrant. Just hit us with your pet peeve, the best one we're sending off to Down and Derby before the end of the show. But this stuff with Rush, I'm kind of surprised we haven't heard from more callers, though. What he has meant. Maybe people that are listeners don't have a sense. Maybe it's talk radio hosts and others that have grown with this. Back in the day at WWDB, I was one of the hosts weekly for five or six times. So we went to Seafood Channies, Rush Rooms, on like a Tuesday or Wednesday with hundreds of listeners when Rush first came to then WWDB. There were no syndicated products on DB at that point. It was all local. And Rush Limbaugh, it was the last market of the big markets that he broke through and was on there, and the rest was history. And it was amazing to hear that. It was groundbreaking.
Yesterday, when he appeared on the Super Bowl interview with Sean Hannity, he took the opportunity to go after a number of his opponents on the Democratic side, talking about the height of Mike Bloomberg and claiming he needed to box for the debate. Why does he do that?
Well, you know, I will tell you, as a guy that's 5'6", you know, that one stung me, too. it's his combative style. Little eyes.
All right, it's Dom time, Dom Giordano's show. That's Sean Spicer, who said, now, I don't think Spicer got as much as the media's making it. Oh, my God, this is so deflating, the height thing, Dan. But he did say, this is definitely in bounds with Bloomberg, I think. Okay, more on this before I take another car. This Great Britain stuff intrigues me. Person who wrote this says the stuff they're doing, this Budinski stuff around food, you can't eat a snack on public transit, right? It gets into the left and humorless. Are people on the left really buying in? Is America really going to buy into Michael Bloomberg dictating food choices and things? He is the ultimate nanny of any of these people when it comes to this issue. Now, on other issues, he's not as far left, but he's the authoritarian of the left, drilling down to the big gulp. Who is this guy? Where does this come from? And you see this mentality here in Philadelphia with the soda tax. You would think people on the left would be resistive to this, at least a lot. Is this a sign of being woke? Of course. We ought to not just tell people, hey, you know, smoking cigars, not as bad as cigarettes, maybe, who knows, but not a good thing. You know, think in a rush. Okay, you want to say that? I'm fine with that. But this idea of going after the minutiae of food choices. Take a look at the UK. They did this for a while. They're ahead of us in this, or behind us. And Bloomberg was doing the same thing in New York City. Are people really going to have this humorless dictator tell them about all the stuff? Good for him. And I say this as somebody who's pretty careful about what I eat and all this stuff associated. That's my choice. Your choice, if you want to eat that every day, whatever. It's your choice. It's a fundamental part of America, isn't it? That'd be a pretty good contrast. Trump, fast food, what's wrong with it? He does it, apparently. And Bloomberg, going after the big gulp. Let's go to John in Langhorne. John, you're next with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, John.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, John. Thank you.
I was telling the screener that growing up when you're 18, in your 20s, that was probably in the 90s for me, you don't really pay attention to too much politics unless I was a drummer living on South Street for a while, and I was just surrounded by activists. You know, everybody within the arts always got activist-type deal going on. So everybody always hated... I never paid attention. I just didn't like politicians at all. And then when the Clintons started having all their stuff come about, that's when I started paying attention a little bit. But then I didn't really perk my ears up until I got a job in Baltimore working with a guy who kind of mentored me with making drums, custom drums and stuff like that in the shop every day. We listened to Rush. And I found myself it's like I woke up.
That is amazing. So as the backdrop, you know, you weren't looking for Rush. It was played behind. I wonder how many hundreds of thousands of people discovered something like that, John, just like you. And from then you had an interest one way or the other with that. That's a real good story.
Ever since then, I've just been glued to the radio, no matter who it was, where I lived, what city I was in. I was just glued to the radio, just trying to pay attention and see what's going on. And now you turn on the news and everything, and it's just garbage, as you know. And that falls right into my pet peeve. I can't stand all the lies and junk that's on TV. People sit there and they just lie.
Yeah, well, exactly. Hey, John, thank you for that. Thanks for sharing that story. And, you know, if you're Rush Limbaugh, I'm sure you're getting bombarded with stories like that of people that discovered it, maybe made a change, or at least paid attention to it, whether they rejected liberalism in toto or not, that it broke through. And the importance of it.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.